Hey, you own a business? Maybe we should consider advertising on the show. See if we can make a little bit of money. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org.
All right, y'all, welcome back to the show.
I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show.
I'm here on the Liberty Radio Network live from noon to 3 Eastern Time on the weekdays. You can find all the archives at scotthorton.org. You can follow me on Twitter at Scott Horton Show. Our next guest is Scott McConnell, writing over at the American Conservative magazine. His latest is The Middle East Doesn't Matter. It's the spotlight today on antiwar.com. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good, good. Happy to have you on the show again.
Thank you.
Do you mean the Middle East doesn't matter? The Middle East, I will have you know, is the most important thing that there ever was, right? Come on, what are you talking about?
No, I mean, it's possible. Like, let's just say there's a little license taken in the headline. But it doesn't matter nearly as much as the attention we pay to it or think it does. And we don't really have any very good strategies or options for dealing with the problems there. So I think it would certainly benefit from what was called in another context many years ago, benign neglect.
Right. All right. Well, and well, certainly, no matter what, whether people are as libertarian as me or as conservative as you are or whatever it is, this certainly has to be part of the debate. I mean, the fact that the goalposts are as narrow as just how many people we should be blowing up per day and that kind of thing, you know, is really problematic when those aren't the only reasonable arguments to have. There are very many reasonable ones that are unfairly restricted to the fringes of debate. So anyway,
yeah,
I guess this isn't much closer than the fringes itself, this show, but I'm happy to give you the opportunity to talk about this where people
can hear. Let me go back a little bit. I mean, after World War II, the Mideast was found to have like the largest repositories of, you know, of oil, huge amount of oil, and the people who were running American foreign policy thought, quite correctly, in my view, that it would be that I mean, they understood that oil was needed if Europe was to get back on its feet and, you know, become an industrial power again, and for the United States, and they thought it would be a disaster if, say, the Soviet Union got, you know, was able to control that oil. And so there was a foreign policy consensus that oil should be part of the world market and, you know, sort of, you know, part of the Western-dominated world economy. And I think we did some bad stuff to ensure that, like fomenting a coup d'etat in Iran in, you know, 1953. But, you know, I think it was reasonable to want to keep the oil away from, like, say, Soviet control. But, you know, that just isn't an issue anymore. I mean, there's oil all over the place. The United States is now an oil exporter. And there's no power, you know, there's no outside power which is going to control the oil in the Mideast in any sort of way. So once you take away the oil, you're looking at a region in which there are not major powers. There's not major economic power or technological power or anything like that. I mean, it's not to say that there aren't, you know, things of significance in the region, you know, including like Jerusalem, which is a holy city for three religions. But, you know, there's nothing, we shouldn't be obsessed about the boundaries or the dangers there. And we're being played. I mean, like this group, Islamic State, can do some executions on television, and America thinks it's like a terrible major strategic problem for the United States, which it just isn't.
Yeah, I mean, they really have seized the worst part of Iraq. It's not like they've taken Kirkuk and Basra.
Yeah.
All right, well, so yeah, now there's a lot there, but it sort of sounds like, in a nutshell, kind of what you're saying is the people running D.C. don't understand economics. If they did, they would have a point of view that would recognize all the wide and diversified sources of energy all around the world as a global market in the way that you describe it, where they wouldn't really have to worry for a minute about who controls it. I mean, even a price shock for a couple of days will work itself out. And in fact, with all the futures markets and whatever, was that you that mentioned that about how that works out in even the danger of price shocks? That prices might go up, but not too quickly because they already have a buffer there.
Yeah, I think one of the articles I linked to, Justin Logan's.
Logan mentioned that the other day. Right, exactly. There's a guy that I interview from time to time named Michael Clare, who is some kind of liberal or progressive, writes for TimeDispatch.com.
Yeah, and he's an oil expert.
And he talks about, he sounds more like a libertarian or a conservative in the sense that you don't hear him saying it's all about, you know, stealing cheap oil for the American consumer or anything along those lines, which is sort of, I think, the assumption of uninformed liberal types.
That's the old left-wing assumption.
Right, and yet for him, no, it's all about the prerogatives of the empire controlling those oil flows, controlling which states have which pipelines going which directions, and if we get into a fight with China, can we choke them off in a week or can't we, and these kinds of questions. What do you think about that?
There may be something to that, but I would hope that there isn't. You know, there doesn't really need to be a fight with China either. And if a fight to China, all kind of things come into play, including the possible nuclear weapons by ballistic missiles. So, but I'm sure there are people in the Pentagon who think about that. But I'm not sure that's what drives the American Mideast obsessions. If you consider that what drives them is, media and people who pretend to care about the Mideast a lot, and a lot of it is Israel-related, I would say, at least half. They're not talking about, choke points in China. And I also don't think that, there's sort of an inner strategy where the real deal is kind of thought out behind closed doors and everything that goes on in the media is a kind of camouflage. I think that, we've had terror originating from the Mideast, and we have this extremely strong attachment and maybe an unnatural attachment to Israel. And those two are kind of interrelated. And between the two of those things, they play an enormous role in the American consciousness. And it's not like hard to see why, because certainly 9/11 was significant and Israel is significant. But you can argue that these things are given inordinate weight by a factor of two or three compared to how objectively important they are to America's well-being.
Sure. Well, and of course, the oil companies, they prefer being the ones doing the pumping and the skimming on any given well. If they're American companies, they like that intervention on their behalf. I mean, I think overall they prefer stability to all this madness. But they certainly like being the ones pumping Kurdish oil as opposed to some French or Chinese companies in there when it comes to that. Just for profit's sake. And congressmen are a dime a dozen, so that's not really a problem when it comes to that. You look at all the think tanks, they're all funded by Exxon as well as Lockheed, correct?
Yeah, that is true. I don't know how to break that. I mean, I've mentioned, I'm a little disappointed that Rand Paul hasn't been a little more playing a tune to a different drummer than he has been. But it's as if, ISIS figured out that if you can execute one journalist and have it seen on American TV, you can pull the whole country around by its nose, and I think they almost, encourage American intervention because it maybe fits into their narrative that they're the, true
defenders from the Crusaders.
Defenders
absolutely,
of the faith. Yeah, defenders of the faith against the Crusaders, so because I think what they're selling locally wouldn't be that appealing otherwise, but if they can, have a lot of Muslims killed by American bombs, that probably helps them more than it hurts them.
Right. Yeah, it is an extremely frustrating thing. It took 9/11 for Cheney to exploit to get us into this mess. But then it takes the beheadings of a couple of journalists who, they're Americans and they're innocent. Yeah. They're journalists, for crying out loud, right? But at the same time, they put themselves in harm's way in a war zone and these things happen. And yet those are 9/11 attacks enough to bring us into this thing. Just a couple of videos of a couple of individual crimes like that, as horrible as they are.
Yeah, no, I mean, journalism has long been a dangerous profession.
Sure,
and there's a very good organization called Committee to Protect Journalists that's been active, as I know, for a couple generations.
Right. I'm sorry, we got to take this break, Scott. We'll be right back. And I'm sorry, I don't want anyone to think that I was saying those guys got what was coming to them or anything like that at all.
No,
I'm just
of course
saying
not.
It's not the same as an attack on an American city or something. But anyway, hold that. We'll be right back with Scott McConnell from the American Conservative.
Hey y'all, Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. CNI stands against America's negative role in the ongoing Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the war party's relentless push to bomb Iran, and the roles played by twisted Christian Zionism and neocon-engineered Islamophobia in justifying it all. But they can't do it without you. Support CNI's push to straighten out America's crooked course. Check out the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org and click Donate under About Us at the top of the page.
All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. I'm talking with Scott McConnell, former neoconservative, over there at the American Conservative magazine. And this article is entitled, The Middle East Doesn't Matter. And now, Scott, what is this Israel that you mentioned, and what does it have to do with American foreign policy in the Middle East?
Well, I think if you talk to any member of Congress about what America's vital interests are in the Middle East, they would say, I'm not sure in what order, oil and Israel, and different ones. And we've treated Israel's survival as a core national interest, but we've also, that's been probably sort of moved over a bit, or in which it's so to support for Israel right or wrong, or whatever Israel wants, which are pretty different things. I think Henry Kissinger once said wisely that we are committed to Israel's existence, but not its conquest. And but we've Israel has kept the West Bank and kept control over the Gaza Strip for now nearly 50 years. And we are, if anything, the American government is as deferential to Israel, or far more so than it was 50 years ago, 40 years ago. So what does that mean for the Mideast? It means that Israeli wishes are treated with enormous deference in Washington. You know, for example, after 9/11, Israel got the idea that the United States was going to strike back at someone. I mean, someone besides the people who did it in Afghanistan. I think they probably most wanted us to hit Iran, which had nothing to do with it. But they thought, Iraq would be like a good lead-in. And so there was this long parade of Israeli officials who, come on Face the Nation, meet the press, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, saying Saddam Hussein has these weapons. It's absolutely essential that they attack him now. And Americans have gotten kind of accustomed to treating Israel as like the realist, tough guy guide who really understands this exotic, tangled, violent region, and to take our clues from what Israel says. Now, Israel is, it's sort of a democracy and sort of an aggressive ethno-state. It's both at the same time. And, for the Palestinians who live on the West Bank, it's pretty much an apartheid state, though it's not so in Green Line Israel. But, the American Congress and much of the American body politic has bought the pro-Israel thing hook, line, and sinker. Now, in terms of the Mideast now, what does that mean? Israel is, I think, one of the reasons why we're so hostile to Syria and the government of Syria, and why we treat the overthrow of Bashar Assad as like an American national interest, when Assad is kind of a sad, dictator of a cobbled together government of religious minorities and Christians and things like that, and is trying to hang on in a mostly Muslim area. But he's also allied with Hezbollah, which is allied with Iran, and Hezbollah is the one Arab army which has fought pretty well against the Israelis and, gave the Israelis I wouldn't call it a fair fight, but a decent fight. And so Israel wants Hezbollah to be, deprived of arms and cut off so it can take it out more easily. And so Hezbollah gets its arms through Syria. So Syria has to be our enemy, whether or not under any other calculation Syria should be our enemy.
Yeah.
And same thing with Iran. Israel.
Actually, let me stop you before you go to Iran there. In 2006, Ehud Olmert, the previous prime minister, he wanted to negotiate with Syria, and Bush stopped him. Remember that? So, I mean, it seems like that would be based on a realistic assessment of Assad, that, hey, he's the devil we know, and as far as even disputing the Golan Heights or anything like that, he's a devil who doesn't do anything to them.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything to them.
So, it does seem, is it just Netanyahu who's just hell-bent on trying to weaken Iran so badly that he's willing to create a much worse problem on his own northern border when Iran is still on the far side of Jordan and Iraq from there, you know?
Yeah. I know there were nearly successful negotiations between Israel and Syria towards the end of the Clinton administration. I'm not as aware right now of the 2006 ones, because, I mean, they were right around the time of the Lebanon War. But, you know,
I might have the year wrong there. Yeah, maybe it was 08. I mean, maybe it was more closer to the end of Bush.
In 1999, Israel almost got a deal with Syria. And they, you know, it's hard to say why it didn't go through. It's a complicated issue. It has to do with, you know, land and stuff, but also other things. If we go to Iran, I would say Israel's, you know, large strategic fear is that there's another technologically adept modern state in the region that is willing to support the Palestinians and maybe keep Arab hopes alive of some sort of settlement of that issue. And Iran would fit the bill, but Iran is far away and Iran is interested in other things. But I think Israel's main strategic goal is to keep Iran isolated, perhaps to have it bombed, and certainly to prevent any rapprochement between the United States and Iran. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of sort of think tanks and diplomatic energy and, you know, magazines and sort of support groups on Capitol Hill, which goes to try to, you know, keep Iran as a demon alive in the American consciousness.
Do you want to give odds on the chances for the final nuclear deal this fall?
Yeah, my odds would be like 1 in 3, but a 3 in 5 of an extension, and that both sides are willing to kind of live to keep kind of extending the current deal. Which
I'll settle for that. Yeah, I like
well,
that.
Well, it's better, you know, the thing is that only lasts as long as, say, Obama's president, and say it's better to have a deal in place in case there's a new hawkish president, like, which is, you know, really right. Possible.
Now, is there much of a fight in the establishment over whether we should do this or not? Because it seems to be that even though the nuclear weapons issue is a big fake issue, it is the largest outstanding issue between us. Not that this has to be a great step toward peace, but it could be a little one. And it seems like, you know, either the establishment has decided they like that policy of the president or they don't. Is it just the neocons on the outs on this, or
well,
is it all that
messy? It's the neocons in Congress. I think there's to the extent there's a foreign policy establishment, it wants some sort of detente with Iran, meaning like top military, State Department officials, CIA officials probably do, the permanent government. But Congress, you know, probably does not. I mean, Congress is jumps much more to, you know, quote, campaign funds and Israel, essentially. So they're likely to be, they've already shown skepticism about Iran, Obama's deal.
Right.
And may be able to put in some sort of enough poison pills and stuff to stop it. And, you know, Iran wants what it can get, too. So I'm sure they're not the easiest people to come to an arrangement with.
Right. Yeah, that's probably true. All right. Well, thanks very much for your time. Great to talk to you again, Scott.
Take care.
That's Scott McConnell, y'all. He's at the American Conservative magazine, The Middle East Doesn't Matter, Spotlight today on antiwar.com. Hey, all, Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world, all specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. Darren's Coffee. Order now at darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and save $2. darrenscoffee.com. Hey, all, Scott here for Liberty.me, the brand new social network and community-based publishing platform for the liberty-minded. Liberty.me combines the best of social media technology all in one place and features nightly classes, guides, events, publishing, and so much more. Sign up now and you get the first 30 days free. And if you click through the link in the right margin at scotthorton.org or use the promo code Scott when you sign up, you'll save $5 per month for life. That's more than a third off the regular price. And hey, once you sign up, add me as a friend on there at scotthorton.liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me.
The military-industrial complex. The disastrous rise of misplaced power.
Hey, all, Scott Horton here. I'd like for you to read this book, The War State, by Michael Swanson. America's always gone to war a lot, though in older times it would disarm for a bit between each one. But in World War II, the U.S. built a military and intelligence apparatus so large, it ended up reducing the former constitutional government to an almost ceremonial role and converting our economy into an engine of destruction. In The War State, Michael Swanson does a great job telling the sordid history of the rise of this national security state, relying on important first-hand source material, but writing for you and me. Find out how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy all alternately empowered and fought to control this imperial beast, and how the USA has gotten to where it is today, corrupt, bankrupt, soaked in blood, despised by the world. The War State by Michael Swanson, available at Amazon.com and at Audible.com. Or just click the logo in the right-hand margin at scotthorton.org.
We should take nothing for granted.
Hey, all, Scott here for Whole Food Multicomplete at wholefoodcomplete.com. Whole Food Multicomplete is an entire supplement program in one bottle containing 100% RDA of vitamins and minerals, plus live probiotics, digestive enzymes, antioxidant herbs, energy nutrients, and more. It's made in America using real foods and live probiotics, no chemical synthetics. It's soy-free, gluten-free, and independently tested and verified. They're so sure you'll love it, they're taking 20% off your first order with coupon code Scott Horton. Satisfaction is guaranteed at wholefoodcomplete.com.